All right, everybody, welcome back to Locker Room Access. We are so delighted and so grateful for our next guest to join us. She was at one point the number one high school player in the country. Unfortunately, initially, she did not attend University of Virginia, but guess what? She is now with us. Sam Brunell, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited.
So just so you know, I'm from New York City, right? New Yorkers think the world revolves around New York City and no other place really exists. So right. When I'm hearing like Sam Brunell's number one in the country, she's like top player, she's this, I'm like, yeah, whatever. And I'm talking to my children, my boys who are know you well and worked out with Damon mm-hmm. like you did. And they're telling me, no, she can play. I'm like, really? Wow, I got to see her play. And unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to see you play in high school. But as luck should have it, now I get to see you in Charlottesville when I come visit.
It's perfect. Perfect timing, right?
So, Sam, you go to Notre Dame. Yeah, congratulations on a great career. Your list of accolades will not be able to fit in a 12-minute segment on ESPN, nor will it probably be able to fit on a longer podcast with Locker Room Access where folks will go to after they hear the 12 minutes to hear the rest of the podcast and the rest of the show with you and the rest of the interview. You go to Notre Dame. You have a great career, you have a great high school career. You pick Notre Dame. Why Notre Dame?
You know, it's interesting because when I told Coach Mox that I wanted to go to UVA, I told her it was pretty touching because when I knew Notre Dame was right for me, it was like this special feeling. It was an indescribable feeling and it was like overwhelmed with joy and like I knew that was the place for me. It was just that type of feeling. It was really indescribable. And, you know, not many people get that feeling, you know, twice, and most of them don't get it once. And so for me to be able to have that twice about UVA is great. But, you know, there's a lot of other reasons that I picked Notre Dame, you know, one being Coach McGraw. Her and I had a extremely special and close relationship, and we still do. We still, you know, have lunch together. She, you know, teaches a sports leadership class at the university that I took my sophomore spring. And, you know, she's great. She's everything that I wanted in a coach. And, you know, I think what attracted me a lot to her was how blunt and how serious she was about, you know, just being honest and truthful and loyal to me and to any player, honestly. There's not many coaches that don't sugarcoat you completely. And I appreciated that as a player because I wanted to be pushed and I wanted to be pushed hard. Another reason was anytime I went to campus, it felt more and more like home. You know, Notre Dame's a private school. It's very tight knit. And anywhere you walk, everybody's wearing Notre Dame. Like everywhere you go, somebody's wearing Notre Dame all the time. And everybody's super friendly, super welcoming. And I just always felt at home in that environment because where I'm from in Greene County, you know, super tight knit and everybody's so kind. And, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. And, you know, Greene County was definitely my village, not just my family. So, you know, I really appreciate that about Notre Dame. And as well as the academic side, you know, they say 4 for 40 at Notre Dame. And I am thankful and grateful that I get to graduate over the summer from Notre Dame and participate in graduation in May. And, you know, that degree is going to be great for me. And to be able to then come to UVA and get a master's degree is going to be amazing. So
what are you going to get a master's degree in?
So I'm looking to do something in education. There's a couple programs I'm looking at, but my plan would to someday be an elementary school teacher, go into coaching. My plan would be to stay in Central Virginia area, actually. So that's kind of the working plan I have right now, but who knows, life always changes things. We'll see.
Absolutely. Did your parents have influence on your decision going into college?
You know, they were pretty supportive all the time. And they always told me at the end of the day, it's my decision where I choose to go. And, you know, I love my parents to death. They have raised me to be an awesome person. And I think morally they implanted in me a lot of foundations that a lot of kids don't have at a young age. And they instilled that in me at a young age. And I'm very grateful for that. And, I think that helped me, you know, be a lot more mature through my recruiting process in high school. And, you know, of course, I always lean on my parents a lot for suggestions and advice. So they definitely gave it when I asked for it, but the decision was all on me. They didn't pressure me at all. And, you know, I actually came to them and I was like, guys, like Notre Dame's the place for me. Like it's this feeling, this indescribable feeling that I have, and everything's just perfect about it. And like I know what's right. And they were so supportive through it all. And, you know, they just want me to be happy. At the end of the day, it's my happiness that matters to them the most.
Yeah, I'm sure that not too many people will get recruited by University of Connecticut. Turn it down.
Yeah.
Right? That's, I mean, just alone getting recruited by University of Connecticut, that'd be a tremendous, tremendous feeling. And it's what an accomplishment, right? What were your thoughts on Gino Armia?
Yeah, you know, he was cool people. He recruited me, you know, in the beginning of high school and basically through my junior year. And, you know, I took a visit to Connecticut my junior year, like at New Year's Eve, basically. I think they played a New Year's Eve game. And, you know, I kind of lost touch with them after that game, you know, not on my part. They just kind of stopped talking to me. You know, I had an offer. And, you know, it came to be March and I was trying to schedule home visits. So I reached out and, you know, asked them, you know, like, what's going on? Like, you know, whatever. And they never told me my offer was gone. But they were telling me that they were only going to do home visits with like one person because, you know, she wasn't able to, you know, come to Connecticut or whatever. And so, you know, come to find out there were some, you know, interesting things with that story. But at the end of the day, I knew that I wasn't going to go to UConn. At the end of the day, Notre Dame was perfect for me. So it worked out. But you know, it's more respectable when you're upfront and honest, I think. And, you know, the way that that ended was not necessarily in that way. So
yep. Maybe I shouldn't say this on the air. You know what? But I haven't heard great things about Gino. I know people that are coaching the women's industry. And
yeah,
and one person in particular was like, eh.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll give it to him. He's a good coach. Like, you know, he's been successful and, you know, he knows what he's doing. But you know, he's very business oriented, I would say, and very, you know, clear cut. And if you're not cutting it, then you're not cutting it. But at the same time, you know, I think his reputation's a lot more important than other people's sometimes. So, you know, I think that's kind of what happened. But
maybe if they had you, they would have a better chance against South Carolina.
Right.
Did you get a chance to visit UVA out of high school?
I did. And, you know, I grew up a UVA fan, you know, from being a little girl. You know, where I'm from, you're either a UVA fan or you're a Virginia Tech fan, and whichever one you're not, then you despise them. So I always grew up loving UVA, and I used to be a Ball girl, actually, for a few years when I was younger, when Coach Boyle, like, first got the job, and, you know, I loved it, and she never believed me how old I was when I did it because I was so tall, like, I was way taller than the average, like 10, I don't know, 9-year-old, however old I was when I started doing that. But it was that, like, that was my first introduction to UVA women's basketball, really, that I can, like, remember. You know, I went to Debbie Ryan's camp, like, one of the last years she coached, and, like, I remember that. But, you know, one of the players I remember always watching through UVA basketball was Chelsea Shine. And, you know, I was always like, Mom, like, I want Chelsea Shine shoes. Like, I want to be like her. Like, she's great. And, you know, so I always, you know, had this, you know, connection with UVA, special connection with UVA. But I think when I was going through my recruiting process, there was a lot of other things that were important to me at the end of the day. And so, you know, unfortunately, UVA wasn't it for me at first, but, you know, the world does crazy things and it's really come around real nice. And I'm excited to be able to now come back home. So
isn't that amazing? Like when you look back and you reflect and you say, Chelsea Shine, that was who I want to be. And now you have so many young girls and probably boys too, looking up to you and going, I want to be like Sam Brunell, how good she is. And she was a McDonald's All-American. Like 24 people get to be McDonald's All-Americans. That is insane. You are one of 24.
It's very special. It's very special. You know, it was something that I had dreamed of from a little girl. You know, what's interesting is I tell people this all the time. When I was in fifth grade, it was kind of like when I'd done AAU for a couple of years by then, and I was playing up in fifth grade on this like 16U team out of like my local area. And we were in a tournament in Virginia Beach. And that's when Abu Williams coach saw me out of Richmond. And he was like, how old is she? Like they somehow found out my age and they were like, you should come play for us or whatever. And long story short, ended up going to play for this Abu Williams team out of Richmond. And I ended up playing for them for like 7 or 8 years. And you know, those coaches really showed me like what kind of player I was. And I think without that experience, I wouldn't be where I am today without those coaches. And, you know, one of them passed away from cancer, sadly, the one who actually brought me into the organization when that was a really difficult time and going into high school. But, you know, I couldn't have done it without them. And I always told them my dream in fifth grade was to be like my mom and go play Division III basketball at Bridgewater College, because that's what my mom did. And you know, when I got that first Division I letter in fifth grade, I was like, Mom, sorry, I'm gonna have to change my dreams up a little bit.
Your first Division I letter in fifth grade.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. What school was that?
I think it was like St. John's out of New York. And then it kind of took off from there. I played up in fifth grade. So the reason I got that letter was I played on the Nike showcase tournament they had at Boo Williams. And I played on the ninth grade Boo Williams Richmond team. And I didn't really play much, but when I got in for like a minute or two at the end of games, I guess that's when the coaches would see me and they realized that I was like 11 years old, I guess. But it was a good time.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Fifth grade getting a D1 offer. That's remarkable. Incredible. So who do you attribute your success to prior to joining that Boo Williams team? Is it your mom? Is it your dad? Is it the combination? Is it Damon Altizer, who worked with you for years?
Yeah, you know, both of my parents coached me in different sports. My mom coached me in like soccer and basketball, and my dad was a minor league baseball player for the Phillies. So like he coached me in softball, and you know, they both pushed me to be my best, but my mom really had the expertise in basketball, and like she created the shot that I have. So, you know, I give her a lot of credit for that. And, you know, like I said, my parents instilled a lot in me at a young age of, you know, how to be mature and, you know, to have good morals. And I think that played a huge role in it as well.
So your mom and your dad, that's incredible. I didn't know you came from such an athletic background.
Yes, yes.
Your dad, what position did you say he pitched for the Phillies?
So he didn't pitch. He played right field and played a little first base and occasionally caught, but mostly right field.
What's the highest level he made?
He was in single A. So.
Awesome. And is he from Virginia as well?
So my dad's originally from Utica, Michigan, and grew up a little bit in Florida and then ended up back in Utica. And then he went and played at Grand Valley State for 3 years and then got drafted. So
where's Grand Valley State?
That's in Michigan, like Grand Rapids. Yeah,
I got to believe it's hard to become a baseball player living in Michigan because it's cold 11 months of the year. No, it's
beautiful. Oh, my gosh. Weather. That's one thing I'm not going to miss about Notre Dame is the weather. The Midwest weather is insane.
I lived in Wisconsin for almost a year.
Yeah.
The coldest ever. Ever.
Crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, no, it is. Yep. And then your mom grew up where?
So she grew up in Green. So we live in the house that her, like, great-grandfather built on a family farm. Super neat. Like, it's literally my brick house, then a field, and my mom's brother and my cousins in a field, and then my mom's mother, so my nanny, lives in the house next door, and then my other cousins ended up building a house to the left of us, so there's, like, a field and then a house to the left of us, but.
So, for me, that's so interesting, like, and I'm going to ask Damon the same question. How does someone become good at basketball living in the country, living in a farm?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think it was one of those things where I was started in sports early, and I think God blessed me with great genetics. Like, I was always really tall for my age, and, you know, God also blessed me with, I think, natural athleticism. And so that took me a long way, I think. But I think it also helped that my mom and my dad pushed me. You know, they didn't over push me, but they pushed me enough to be like, I love this sport and I actually like want to be good at this sport and like work my hardest. So I think it goes back to what we talked about before about, you know, my parents instilling like this fire and this passion in me. So.
Yep. All right. Moving ahead, graduate high school, great career, list of accolades, as I mentioned before, just nonstop USA basketball, McDonald's All American, this, that. What were your expectations in going to Notre Dame? Did you expect to play immediately? Muffet McGraw tell you, hey, you're going to start as a freshman?
Yeah, you know, she didn't bluntly tell me, you know, you're going to start or whatever, but there was definitely a big opportunity for me to come in and do what I ended up doing and starting and, you know, playing a lot of minutes because they got their starting five drafted the year before I came in. So they had a lot of open spots and, you know, available to take. And I think what helped was I worked really hard when I came in. My positions coach, Beth Cunningham, worked with me all the time. And, you know, I proved myself to earn a position to start. And, you know, it was a heck of a freshman year. I mean, unfortunately, we didn't have the record we'd probably have liked, but I've definitely learned a lot under Coach McGraw.
Incredible freshman years, right? Nearly 32 minutes a game, 14 points a game, nearly six rebounds a game, nearly two assists a game, one steal a game. and you shot 32% from three, which you improved dramatically, significantly the next year.
Yeah.
Right. Did you enjoy that first year, even though your record wasn't great, but you had a stellar individual career?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, of course, when I went to Notre Dame, I wanted to win. You know, and unfortunately, we didn't do as much of that as it would have been nice to do. But I do think as an individual, I grew a lot. And I think it was special and unique because I was in a position where I had to grow up fast. There wasn't anybody ahead of me, like older than me, that, you know, was, you know, a great leader or anything. So I really had to step up and, you know, grow up fast in those aspects. And I think that that helped me become a better player. So.
All right. So at the end of that year, when does McGraw tell you she's leaving or she's resigning?
So, yeah. She calls me and tells me when I'm on the way to a workout that, you know, she's
after the season.
Retire. Yeah. This is after the season. I don't know. It was maybe April, around April time. Cause COVID had happened. So I was back home in Virginia and, you know, I get a call and she tells me that she's retiring and, you know, I was in complete shock. I didn't see it coming. But you know, looking back, I'm just blessed. I got the 1 year I did with her because she's one of the greatest basketball minds in the country and in the world. So.
All right. And what was your reaction when she tells you she's resigning?
My mouth literally dropped like this. And you know, it was kind of a quick moment of silence on my part. I didn't know exactly what to say. I was just kind of like, oh, okay. You know, I was trying to contain my emotions because, you know, like I said, we had a really special connection, a really special relationship. So, you know, to lose somebody that meant that much to me was hard and it was difficult for a while.
Next coach is named.
Yeah, Coach Ivy.
Coach Ivy, who had a great career at Notre Dame. Right. And coached there for a while. When did you meet her?
So it's interesting because she was on the staff that she wasn't my positions coach, but she definitely watched me in recruiting because she was an assistant for Coach McGraw and was actually there through my freshman summer for the most part until she got the job with the Grizzlies. So I'd already, you know, I knew her really well pretty much going into her getting the job. And, you know, that was pretty neat. So.
Right. And what was your conversation going into your second season at Notre Dame?
Yeah, you know, it was just, you know, to make sure that she knew that I was super excited about it. You know, at the time I was dealing with my knee injuries, so I was trying to get that straight. And, you know, COVID was happening, so we weren't even, you know, at Notre Dame over the summer. We were all at home until just about August. So, you know, it was a crazy time. I think COVID kind of made it a funky sophomore season for me, but, you know, it was interesting and it was, you know, great to start developing a relationship with her.
Now you only played 17 games. When did you hurt your knee?
So I actually hurt my knee. The knee situation was an accumulation over time, I think. So what I have is called chondromalacia, and basically it's the breakdown of cartilage in your knees. And I have it in both of my knees. So, you know, I got like loose pieces of cartilage all up in my knees and it causes a lot of pain. So I had a procedure done in both knees that summer. It's called PRP to try to help it out. And I ended up not even being able to run from the month of like July until almost November. I was told to not run or do anything. And, you know, that was really hard because I ended up, you know, gaining a lot of weight. I gained about 30, 35 pounds and it wasn't good weight. So that was really hard. A different body transformation for sure. Cause they were telling me I needed to gain weight, but it wasn't going to be that kind of weight that I gained. So yeah.
Great. So what, and I mean, that had to be a tough challenge to overcome with the season starting in November and you probably didn't get, were you able to work out at all? Were you able to like ride a bike or you couldn't do any of that?
Yeah. I mean, I was able to do stationary stuff, but I wasn't able to do any conditioning and stuff basically. And, you know, that was tough to play catch up in the conditioning aspect because, you know, basketball is a really tough sport conditioning wise. So that was kind of hard to play catch up, but.
So when the first game starts, you're coming off the bench now?
Yep, six man.
Yeah, and how did you deal with that? Because you went from playing 32 minutes a game to playing nearly 23 minutes a game.
Yeah, you know, it was definitely a challenge mentally at times. But I was a lot more optimistic that year because I also knew, you know, I'm coming off of my knee injuries. I wasn't really doing a whole lot in the preseason. So, you know, I understood it a little bit because I was trying to get in shape not only. But I'd also lost a lot of my quickness and stuff because I gained 30 pounds of not good weight. And, you know, I dealt with a lot of adversity in those aspects. And, you know, I understood it a little bit more my sophomore year, coming off, like, why I was coming off the bench, and it was kind of out of my control. So
how quickly were you able to shed some of that weight?
Yeah, so I literally got to be about a max of 198 over my sophomore season. And then once the season ended, like, I flipped the switch and I was like, nah, like, this is not okay. Like, I need to change it for the better of myself, to help my game, to help, you know, myself be mentally and physically healthier. And so I lost all of that weight. I got down to 169, actually. So the weight that I came in as a freshman, I got down to 169 over that summer. And that was really special, and it made me feel really great mentally and physically. I was feeling the best I had felt since I'd been at college at that point in time. So.
And how were your knees after your second year, your sophomore?
Yeah, you know, my knees had gotten better. It's also one of those things where it's like, you can't do anything to fix it. So you got to mentally just let it go. And so I think I just gotten used to that at that point of, you know, they're going to hurt and I just got to get over that. And so, you know, I deal with knee pain every day, and it is what it is. When you love the sport you play, you're not going to just, you know, sit out because your knees hurt, right? So I got over that real quick.
All right. Your three-point shooting jumps from 31% to nearly 39%. What do you attribute that to?
Yeah, you know, thinking about it, it's interesting because my sophomore year, I didn't get to do a whole lot early. I literally was just going in there and hitting my shots. And I think it's because I wasn't thinking about it that much. I think it was just because I was playing basketball. I was like enjoying it and not thinking about, oh my gosh, like, I can't miss this. Like, I was going into it just being like, I'm going to shoot my shot if I have it. And I think the confidence is what really pushed me over the top that season.
Awesome. How did you feel individually after your second year?
I was, you know, I'm never content with my game. I always want to improve, but I was not satisfied one bit. Yes, I improved my shooting percentage, but like I said, I had to change a lot of stuff because I lost a lot of my versatility because I gained 30 pounds. Like, I was 30 pounds heavier. I was playing the five because I had gained so much weight. And basically I was just being a bully inside. Like, I played the five the whole year. And you know, that's not my game. Like, my game's a stretch four. So I wanted to change that.
Okay. I was just going to ask you that too. Like, what position are you most comfortable at? What's your favorite thing that you like doing on the court? Is it shooting the three? Is it attacking the basket? Is it playing low post? Is it playing defense and rebounding?
For sure. So I'm most comfortable at a stretch four. I would say the two things that I like the most is shooting the three ball for sure. Whether that's pick and pops or stationary or coming off a screen. The other thing that I like that, you know, I kind of got away from the past 2 years because of the position I was in, was I had a nasty 1 foot fader like Dirk. And that was like my go-to move. Like, Damon like pounded that into my skill set. And like, that was something that I just always went to if I was like posting up a guard. So I would say that too.
All right. So now, coming into your third year, your junior year, is there a conversation at the end of your second year or the start of your third year with Coach Ivy?
Yeah. So we had a, you know, end of the year meeting. We had an end of the year meeting. And then before the fall started, we had like another player meeting about, you know, expectations going closer to the season and everything. And, you know, they wanted me to obviously improve a lot of things. They wanted me to score more. They wanted me to rebound more. They wanted me to, you know, obviously be able to get back to having more guard skills. And I worked really hard on that over the summer. I got my ball handling skills back. I dropped my weight. Like, all that stuff. I was in the best conditioning that I was in. And, you know, they told me to, you know, stay ready. And, you know, that, you know, I was the person who worked the hardest over the summer, like, you know, really giving me great motivation and, you know, foresight for the season.
And they brought in some talented freshmen.
Yeah.
And some transfers as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys had a really good year. What was the chemistry like amongst the team?
Yeah, it was good chemistry. You know, I think we were a smaller group than we were my sophomore year. We had like 15 my sophomore year, and this year we had like 12. So we were super tight knit, you know, did a lot off the court together, which I think helped our chemistry on the court. Cause when you're close off the court, it only helps you on the court. We played a lot of pickup together before the season started. And I think like that was key to having that chemistry start early. And yeah, so we had good chemistry, I'd say.
I saw one of the freshmen who's from Westchester, who's about lives about 20, 25 minutes away from me in New York. And actually my middle son, Kobe, is friendly with her. I saw her play last summer, just pick up. And I was like, oh my goodness, who is it? Like, I can't believe how good like basketball has evolved at this level.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And I really enjoyed watching like the tournament and the mm-hmm. women's tournament. And I watched Creighton play and they upset. I can't remember who they upset.
Crazy, right?
Oh, yeah.
So many upsets.
And then I watched you guys, and I know you guys lost to Louisville, I think.
Nope. NC State.
Yep. Right. Who had a great year.
Yeah.
And during the tournament you guys lost. At what point are you thinking, okay, I'm ready to make a move and I want to make a switch and I want to consider transferring?
Yeah. So basically right after the season ended, you know, I sat down and, you know, I was deciding a lot. Obviously, I was telling you earlier, I'm going to, you know, go into a grad program here to try to be a teacher. And most of those programs are 2 years long. So like I'm sitting down thinking like, okay, I got 2 years left. Unfortunately, Notre Dame doesn't have an education graduate program. So that was probably the biggest reason that I wanted to, you know, to leave was that. And another big reason was I've been homesick, honestly, for about 2 years. I really have. I love Notre Dame, but I've missed home a lot. I've missed, you know, my big support system. And so I also wanted to come, you know, back near home. That was really important to me. So I was looking at schools that were, you know, within the 4-hour range of home initially. And, you know, obviously my stuff on the court is important too. Like, I know I'm a lot more of I'm a bigger player than I've been showing the last 2 years. And I really want, you know, to work on that my last 2 years and to really take my game to that next level, because, you know, going from my freshman year to the sophomore and my junior, it's kind of gone like downhill, and that's not what it's supposed to be like. And I know if I'm given the opportunity, I will really, you know, reach peak performance. So
what was the genesis of the conversation, and how did it between you and Coach Mox?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love her. She's amazing. You know, she's one of the biggest reasons I, you know, came to UVA, because her and her staff are, you can tell that they're all one unit. They all want the same things for everybody. And I think what really stood out to me was she cares like differently. Like, she cares differently about people and about her players. And it's on a different level than just on the court. It's off the court. She wants us to be built into strong women, you know, to be ready for life after basketball. And to me, that's huge. That's something that Notre Dame strived to do for us. And to me, that's really important. And so, you know, the more and more I had conversations with her, the more and more I was like, I like her. Like, she's going to do great things. And obviously I knew she was used to winning and she's made the tournament. So like, UVA has hired somebody who knows how to win, who knows how to get to the tournament. And that's special to me. And I know that we can do that. So.
And then she's had great success. Missouri State, we had a podcast with a former player, UVA, current player who just graduated. And we were talking about Coach Mox, and I don't want to embarrass myself and attempt to pronounce her name. Do you want to give it a shot?
Is it Toi? Is that the one?
Is which one? One?
The girl from France?
No. Coach Mox's full name.
Oh, nope. I'm not going to try. I'm not going to try that one.
It is the most beautiful name.
It is, yeah.
And I just don't want to embarrass myself.
No, for sure.
Right. So I'm going to stick with Mox and Coach Mox right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a chance to see a women's game, a UVA women's game. I don't know if it was 2018, 2019. It was awesome. The crowd was good. The crowd was strong. The arena is just so gorgeous.
Yeah.
We had the architect on a podcast last week, and it was so fascinating talking to him and how he thought about and his framework and building the place. It was so amazing. And I love going there. I don't love going to a lot of places outside of New York, but I love going to Charlottesville.
It's beautiful.
It's incredible. I love that arena.
Yeah.
You must be so excited to get in there.
I'm so excited. Well, you know, they took me on a tour of the facilities, and a lot of the facilities have changed since I last visited. You know, it's been years since I've really like seen the facilities, and to see the locker room and the amount of, you know, work that they put into making that really nice. And obviously the weight room, that blew my mind. I was like, this is amazing. Like, this is like really great. Like a lot of colleges don't have stuff like UVA has. It reminded me a lot of Notre Dame. Notre Dame's put millions into their facilities in the last few years. And so to go to Virginia and then see that they care that much about basketball too is really great.
What position do you plan on playing, or have you and Mox talked about you playing at UVA?
Yeah, so I'll probably play a stretch four position, small forward, not really a five, but, you know, if opportunity presents itself for me to post somebody up, like, I'll do it. So I'm excited because I think the system's going to work really well for me.
Have you talked about the offense that she runs?
Yeah, so basically it's an offense where, for instance, they want to push the ball. So, like, in transition, if I come off a rebound, like, she wants me to be able to bring the ball up the court if I can. So I'm going to be in positions to handle the ball a lot more, to have the ball in my hands, to play out of the high post, to play on the wing. Just, it's going to be very interchangeable, and that excites me a lot.
Who could say no to that?
Right?
That's every big person's dream, to handle the ball.
Oh, my gosh.
And the game's evolved so much. Right. And a lot of 6'7", 6'8", 6'9" people are dribbling the basketball, right? On the men's side, and on the women's side, 6'1", 6'2".
Right.
Right? When I'm watching the Final Four, the women's Final Four, I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. I love this game, right? And then have you circled? Well, I guess the schedule hasn't come out yet. But are you looking forward to playing Notre Dame?
Oh, I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, when I told the coaches that I was going to leave, I didn't leave with any bridges burned. Like, they wanted to help me as best they could on my exit out. And I told them, I said, look, I'm graduating. I'm going to continue to support Notre Dame. Like, it was my first home and I love it. I'm going to come back, you know, I'm going to come back at times, and, like, I don't want to leave on a negative note. And I definitely didn't. You know, I'm doing some rehab right now, still at the facility with the trainers, and I see the coaches and we're still friendly, and it's great. So I'm definitely excited to play them and see them again. That's for sure.
And are your teammates giving you a hard time in a friendly way? Like, oh, we're going to play you next year?
Not at all. I think they were surprised I transferred, but they definitely haven't given me a hard time. They've been really supportive, which is, like, great. So
how's your body holding up right now?
It's good. So I hurt my shoulder like in February, I guess, while we were playing. It, you know, got kind of pulled out a little bit. You know, I had a couple small tears, but I'm rehabbing that up right now, and that's going really well. So I ended up playing like in the last 6 or 7 weeks with a shoulder brace on, and, you know, that was interesting, but I made it through. And, you know, I made it through a few injuries this year. I had a back injury to start the season and then played through that. And then I got my foot got hurt and against NC State, and I came back in that game and played, and then I hurt my shoulder. So, you know, there's a lot going on, but I only missed one game the whole year despite all those injuries. So it worked out.
Sure, Warrior. When are you due to set foot on grounds at UVA?
Shoot, as soon as possible. But no, I'm actually going to be at Notre Dame through graduation. So the 15th is commencement here. So as soon as that's over, I'll be back home and hopefully there as soon as possible.
15th of May.
Yep.
All right. And then this summer, are you taking any courses, or you just get right into the gym and start working out?
Yeah, so I'm actually, I don't actually finish my Notre Dame degree until the summer. So I'm taking 3 online classes so I can still be at UVA and take those. And then I finish that up in July, and then I'll start my master's program in the fall.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. All right. I spent some time talking with Damon about you.
Yeah.
And besides, I mean, he says your shot is incredible. You're effortless from deep. Yeah. Personally, he talked about what a wonderful person you are and how you care about other people. And you've, I guess, it launched and initiated some not-for-profit stuff for helping other people, like in Houston after the hurricane there. Congratulations on that. He can't say enough about how great it is to work with you and how skilled you are and what a great player you are. And he also says that you're addicted to ketchup.
Oh, yeah. I carry it in my bag everywhere. Like, literally, I do. I keep a couple dipper packets in my bags.
What do you put ketchup on?
Everything. You name it, I probably put it on it. I mean, I don't put it on pancakes or anything, but I'll put it on, like, any kind of potato. I'll put it on my eggs. I'll put it on all meat. I got away from putting it on steak because I was told that's a no-no, so I don't do that anymore, but I put it on a lot of things, mac and cheese.
He also said you do something with your finger. So, like, made it, all right, ketchup on mac, anyway, you said ketchup on mac and cheese. Like, I'm going to back up for a second because that's, like, a huge no-no. That's sacrilegious of my family because come from my southern roots, and my mom's from, her family's from Nashville and Charleston, South Carolina. So they make soul food, macaroni and cheese, and ketchup on macaroni and cheese is...
Only if it's not cheesy enough. Like, if it's bland mac and cheese, that's when I'll do it. It's got to be cheesy.
All right. Good excuse. Sure. All right. So you said you do something with your finger and your thumb, and I'm trying to understand it, where you get to hit somebody if they look at your finger.
Oh,
you...
yeah. So it's this. This is what it is. And you got to hold it below your waist. And if you get someone to look at it, then it's like a hit. But you can call, like, self-serve. So, like, if you look at it and you say self-serve, like, you can hit yourself. But if not, like, I get to pop you on the neck.
Well, the reason I bring that up, because it sounds like you're, in addition to being a great, great student and a true basketball player, you're also playful.
Oh, yeah. Very goofy. That's for sure. Not ashamed.
Well, your parents, and you must be so happy to have you. And I know, speaking to so many different people, the UVA community is so excited and so ready, and people ready for a change in women's UVA basketball. It's been down the last couple of years, right? I think Boyle was a great, sounded like she was a great coach.
Yeah.
A couple struggled over the last couple of years, and with Coach Mox coming in, with you coming in, with some of the returning players, sounds like there's a lot to be excited about for UVA women's basketball.
So much, so much. It's gonna be different. I keep telling people, I'm like, y'all got to come. Like, it's going to be different this year, and there's going to be a lot of change, and we're going to get it back to what it used to be. So.
Yep. What, you guys drew pretty big crowds at Notre Dame.
Yeah. We had a lot of season ticket holders, and our arena is not close to the size of JPJ. So that also helped, but we had very loyal season ticket holders. So that was always great.
And I don't think there was a huge attendance with women's basketball this year. But
yeah, from what I've heard, it wasn't very good.
But I got to believe next year, people are going to be coming out in droves to watch you guys.
Well, I know my whole family's already got their season tickets, so there will at least be that many people there, which will be good. So,
well, yeah, I mean, you get to give four of them away each game, right? At least four. And then if you have friends on the team that don't use theirs.
Yep, I'll just take those.
Right, exactly. Well, I am so excited. We do a Locker Room Access, just started a showcase last year, during Martin Luther King weekend. Mm-hmm. So hopefully you guys are playing then.
Yeah.
And we can come to a game. We're doing a camp this summer. I don't know if you're back. We'd love to have you participate in that and help coach with that. And so I plan to be in Charlottesville and I love that building. I can't say enough about it.
Yeah.
I love the people that work there. I'm always in conversation with them. I love everything about it, right? Mm-hmm. And I had 3 great years of every game being sold out, no matter who they played.
Right.
And I am so looking forward to continue watching the men, of course, but also the women's now with the new additions coming in. Thank you so much for joining us, Sam. You were tremendous. Love your energy. It's tremendous. It's fast. It's great. And welcome to UVA basketball. You know, for the men's, there's 2 guys that former UVA players, Chris Havlicek and Doug Fresh Smith. And we have another guy that comes on usually, and we host the pregame, halftime, and postgame show during the men's games. We got to talk about now doing something for the women's games.
Absolutely.
This is so exciting.
Heck yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Right, last question I'm going to ask you is, and there may be aftermath, post questions, see your answer. We've got to talk about, because it's impacting college sports so much, what is your take on NIL?
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity. I've been very heavily involved since it started for myself, and I know it's really grown huge, especially for the women. I think it's been really great for the women, and a lot of women are honestly the forerunners and making the most money out of NIL, which is super great, I think. But it's teaching me a lot about the business side of things. And I don't have anybody who represents me. Like, I represent myself. I have a business email and people, you know, send me their requests through my business email, and it's all through me. So I think I'm learning a lot of in and outs about, you know, being a young entrepreneur, I'd say, and really growing. It grows my platform a lot. But I think it also, you know, with NIL, it says a lot about your branding, and you have to, you know, have your branding together. So
how many followers do you have?
I have 97,300 on TikTok. I have 46,000 on Instagram, and like 3,000 something on Twitter. Yeah.
All right, that makes me feel a little bit better that you only have 3,000 on Twitter.
You know what's funny though is my freshman year of at Notre Dame, I had about 10,000 on Twitter, and I got hacked, and I couldn't get my account back, so I had to start over. So. So 3,000 is pretty good over 2 years, I'd say.
Damn, I just said you made me feel better only having 3,000. I didn't need to hear that story now that you really have probably way over 10,000. No, I went back to feeling badly about myself. Like, that's incredible. Incredible how many followers you have. So what existing contracts do you have, NIL deals do you have?
Yeah, so I have a couple that are long-term that kind of happen over the course of a year or like half a year. But I do a lot of them that are just small campaigns that last for a month. But the big ones that I'm in is Starface. So it's like a skincare company. The other one that I do is Pillow Cube, and I do content creation for them, and, you know, post a few times over the month and, you know, get paid pretty good to do it. And then Starface is like 13 different posts over social media over the course of 6 months. And then, you know, they pay really well too. So those are the two big ones I have. I also work with Vintage Brand, and they do all my merchandising with my SB collection, and they're great to work with. The CEO is like a former Notre Dame grad, and he did what I have done actually, and, you know, graduated early and transferred. So we have a lot in common. So it's been great to develop those relationships with the companies.
So they're going to continue to honor those contracts as you move to UVA.
Yeah, they are. They're awesome. Very supportive.
And you know, TW is going to help you out and hook you up with some new ones out of UVA and Charlottesville.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds absolutely good.
Yep. And so what's incredible is that your parents never have to give you another dollar again.
Well, the holidays would be nice.
You should be giving them presents and gifts now.
Oh, I get them good presents. Don't worry.
Now that you're a big TikTok star. That's so awesome. That's incredible.
It's fun.
And I'm really happy. I know it gets complicated with, you know, with people who saying college students shouldn't be paid and they get a scholarship and there's no way that that should happen. And they get, because of their scholarship, that's, you know, in the revenue generating sports, football and basketball, those are full scholarships, and that should be enough, right? What's your answer to those people?
You know, what I would say is, as athletes, we work for years before even getting into college to earn a spot on a team. And it's a job. I think being an athlete's a job. I'm up past 12 o'clock a lot of nights just trying to do work because of time management and, you know, the amount of time that I have in the day between going to three classes and going to workouts, going to treatment, going to recovery, and, you know, trying to perform my best for the university. So I would say being an athlete's a job. Like, we're doing it because we love it, but at the same time, it's a toll on the body. You know, there's a lot of pressure on athletes to perform well all the time and to represent the university as best they can. So it's definitely a job, but I think what's good about it is we're doing something that we love. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, last question, I promise. Your Mount Rushmore. Now, this is, and when we do podcasts, Dougie Fresh-Smith, former UVA player in the early 90s, this is his question. Dougie, thank you for letting me use it on Sam Brunell. Your Mount Rushmore of women basketball players at UVA.
Oh, gosh. Well, wait, how many Mount Rushmore?
You can name four or five. Four or five, right? Whatever you want.
Oh, gosh. Well, Chelsea Shine, for sure. Dawn Staley. The Burge sisters. Definitely. And then let's see, one more. I'm going to have to give it to Kelsey Wolf. She and I are really tight, so I'm going to give it to her.
Where will Sam Brunell lie in that Mount Rushmore players when you're old, when you're done?
Oh, gosh. You know, hopefully I'm in there. My goal is to at least just help UVA get back to where they were, and that's all I care about. So
that's awesome. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Look forward to meeting you in person real soon.
Yes, absolutely.
Best of luck. Take care.